God, I need your help because I am just, I don't know, I'm not focused tonight. I'm saying weird stuff about gaps. Would you help me speak clearly? And would you bless our topic tonight? Would you help us as we try to jump into kind of a big topic about sin in our life, but nobody really wants to talk about that. God, would you help us be honest and open and vulnerable even in our life groups later? Would you help us to run to you and away from the things that pull us away from you, the things that drag us down and the things that are hidden in the dark? God, would you help us to bring them to the light that we could be forgiven and set free from it? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so have you guys ever noticed how, like, tennis shoe commercials, like Nike and Adidas commercials, oftentimes they end with somebody winning? Like they beat an opponent at the last minute, like they put their head across the finish line and they break the tape and they win and they're like, it's because of the shoes, right? Or maybe they're, they make the game winning shot, right? And they're like, get these basketball shoes because you'll be like LeBron and you'll make all your shots, right? Who doesn't like winning, though? I mean, that's okay, right? I like to win, sure. And so they're trying to sell their product saying that if you wear their stuff, that you'll win. Do you believe it? Does it work? If you put on the magic shoes, do you make all your shots? Do you put on the magic shoes? Do you automatically, make the Olympics? You're like, yes, it's true. No, but sometimes, it can be frustrating. You're like, you know what? I bought that product, and yeah, it wasn't anything like the commercial. Well, duh. They're playing off our desire to be the super pro athlete or whatever. So I have a funny story for you from another youth leader. His name is Andrew Larson, and he wants to talk a little bit to us about if he was going to make his own athletic commercial. Okay, and it goes something like this. He says, "When I'm working out or buying new shoes, I never imagine myself becoming a stellar athlete." Says, "I'm smart enough to realize that that just isn't going to happen to me." Says, "What I do imagine is escaping. I try to figure out if I could get out of my office if Russian assassins attacked, or if I could outrun one of my friends while being chased by an alligator. My zigzag isn't that impressive, so I work on that when I go to the gym." Says, "If I really, really, really wanted to get some Nike shoes, if Nike would sell it to me this way, as a 31-year-old couch potato, if I'm going to buy their $150 shoes, then the commercial should go like this. All right, there's a dad sitting on a couch trying to change a diaper while watching the football game. Okay, got it? He looks up, startled, to see a huge angry beast. He says, I'm still deciding between Darth Vader or the dog from The Sandlot, starting to charge him and his child. The dad snatches up the baby. And there could definitely be some diaper humor, he says, at this point, but he hasn't quite figured out the storyboard. And he takes off running in full chubby daddy slow motion with the baby, escaping. He gets to the door just milliseconds before the dog's jaw or Vader's lightsaber lands on him. Okay, the screen slowly fades to black, and it says something like this: Nike, for when you need to escape. Just do it. Would that work for you? I think it's kind of a funny little story. You're like, no. I don't know if you guys remember a while back, they used to have these like Old Spice commercials or Right Guard deodorant commercials, and they're trying to escape from like wild bears chasing them or whatever, and for whatever reason, I'm not sure why, you need extra strong deodorant when you're sweating really bad being chased by, ravenous bears. So here's the deal. Chances are that Nike's probably not going to make that ad campaign for this guy. Right? Mostly because there's this idea that tough people don't run away from danger. Right? They run towards it. And if you remember a while back, there used to be an ad campaign called No Fear. Right? And people were like, oh yeah, no fear. Face danger head on and bite it in the leg. So, is it popular to run away? It's probably not macho, but it is probably what most people do when faced at gunpoint or a bomb threat or some real danger, right? That most of us would probably run. But here's the thing. The hero runs into a building to save a box of kittens, okay? And the building's on fire. And the hero comes out with the kitties. And he's all charred and black, and everybody's like, yeah, the hero. Or the skinny math genius confronts the big, mean bully at school, and it confronts him, and then he's remembered as a hero who stood up to the bad guy. Kind of reminds me of Back to the Future, right? McFly stands up to Butch, right? Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Helping others is okay, and standing up for what is right, is these are definitely noble causes. But here's the thing. Sometimes we overlook the potential virtue in running away. Don't you think that's true? I wouldn't say running away is like a cool thing to do usually, right? Usually it seems like a cowardly thing to do. So I wanted to show you a funny clip from Pirates of the Caribbean of Jack running away. All right, there he is. So let's take a look. All right, so to give you a little background, Jack and his crew landed on an island of cannibals. And they made Jack their god. They wanted to release him from his fleshy prison and eat him. So they're running for their lives. If you've seen the movie, you know, it's pretty funny. Here's the weird thing. What would happen if in that moment they decided not to run? They probably would have gotten eaten because there's way more of the cannibals than them, and they've got spears and weapons and whatnot. And they'd already been captured in the movie if you'd seen it before and were trapped inside, like a magic ball of bones, right? And they were trying to, and they just finally escaped. So here's the funny thing. Sometimes running is a good thing. Running away can be a good thing. But a lot of times it's frowned upon. It doesn't seem brave, perhaps, but sometimes it's a lot safer. Right? What happens if you don't run away and you're playing the game tag? You lose. You're it, right? Sometimes you need to run away. And here's the thing. It's not often popular, and sometimes we have a negative connotation when we think about it. So tonight when we talk about, hey, I want you to run from sin, it's actually a good thing. But did you know that there was the strategy of running away is actually part of some American history? There was an American general in the Revolutionary War named Morgan who told his troops to run away from the British. And the strategy ended up working. It says they faked a full retreat and ran around the backside of a hillside and then doubled back and surrounded the enemy from the other way. All right? So, like, if this is the hillside, they ran around the back, and then they looped all the way back around and came behind the enemy who was chasing them over the hillside, and they ended up defeating him. And weakened the British, and then, you know, eventually we got our freedom, right? So without some type of strategy like that, particularly that battle, we might all be talking in funny British accents. So sometimes running away can be good, but did you know this, that for thousands of years that God has been doing that and telling us in the Bible that one of the strategies for beating sin, one of the biggest things we can do is to run away from it. So here's our key point tonight that I want you guys to remember, okay? Say this with me. I will run from sin. You guys are dead. Okay, try it again. I will run from sin. Even if it costs me something. Do it again. I will run from sin. Even if it costs me something. Because I know that sin will cost me way more. You guys think that's true? Sometimes running away requires maybe some embarrassment or some frustration or denying yourself some pleasure or some popularity, and you sacrifice something to not sin. But the consequence of actually sinning would be far worse. Does that make sense? So sometimes we lie to ourselves and we believe that the instant gratification of sin is worth it. And in the end, it's really not. You guys, here's some things that the Bible talks about when it talks about running away specifically from sin. The Bible often uses the word flee. So if you look at 2 Timothy, it says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And then 1 Timothy 6 says, but you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. 1 Corinthians 6, flee from sexual immorality. All their sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. And then 1 Corinthians 10, therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry, which is basically worshiping other gods or false gods. And then the last one is interesting. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That when you run from sin and you resist temptation, that the devil will leave you alone for a little bit. God says that he will protect you and help you. It doesn't mean he's gone forever. He's going to probably come right back the next day or the next couple hours. But in that moment, that if you resist and stand firm and hold on to God, that that's kind of cool that he will flee. So you guys, some of you know the story of Joseph. He had a coat of many colors. It was a gift from his dad. He had a whole bunch of brothers, and his brothers got jealous. And in Genesis, his brothers get angry and frustrated that he's treated as the favorite. And so they do something mean, and they throw him in a pit, and they sell him into slavery. And so these slave traders come by, and then their youngest brother is taken off to slavery in Egypt, and the brothers go back and tell their dad that he was killed by an animal. Okay, they totally lie. And we're going to pick up the story with Joseph now in slavery. And we're going to take a look at a time when Joseph chose to run. All right, so in Genesis, if you're following along, or if you've got a device or a Bible, if you want to look it up, Genesis 39, we're going to be in verse 1 through 12. So it says this, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian, who was one of the Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there." So he gets bought by this important official guy. Okay, captain of the guard buys him as a slave. It says, "The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned." Because that's a big deal. To buy a slave, and then that slave does such a good job at the work that you've given him that he gets promoted to the special role in the household where he's actually in charge of all of the possessions. That's a big deal, right? So Joseph is honored in a way, and we'll continue with the story. It says, "From that time, he put him in charge of his household and all that he had owned. The Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. And so Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate." Okay, does he trust the guy? Does the master trust Joseph? Totally. He's like, "Dude, run my whole household, run my affairs, take care of all my belongings, make it all work. You know what? What are we having for dinner?" Like, the dude, like, totally gives him a whole bunch of authority, right? Well, Joseph is going to face a challenge, and here it comes. It says, "Now Joseph was well-built and handsome." Okay? Bit of a hot guy, right? The ladies digged on him. "And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, 'Come to bed with me.'" Oh, snap, right? Potiphar's wife thinks Joseph is hot stuff, okay? Check this out. What does Joseph do? Is he like, "Hey, baby"? No, he's like, "But Joseph refused. He said, 'With me in charge,' he told her, 'my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?' And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her." Okay? This lady's got the hots for Joseph, okay? And Joseph is resisting. You guys, sometimes temptation comes in strange forms, okay? I don't know about you, but I don't have, like, ladies lining up the door, "Hey, come to bed with me." It just doesn't happen. It's weird, right? And you're like, some of the guys are like, "Hey, I wouldn't mind if that happened to me." Here's the thing. Joseph was repeatedly tempted, okay? Some of you get this, though. Do you have repeated temptations in your life that day after day after day you face some of the same temptations to pull you away and drag you away? Okay, Joseph did too, right? And here's the thing. He resisted and he resisted and he resisted, and for who knows how long, but she was trying to wear him down. And the enemy often works that way. The enemy will try to wear you down. You say no to the cigarette. You say no to the drugs. You say no to the alcohol. You say no to the girl or to the guy. You say no to the party. You say no to the thing. You say no to the internet. You say no to whatever it is, time after time after time. And then you're tired. And then it's late at night. And then you're alone. And then it's just you and that temptation. And then you decide, "Oh, I've had a bad day. Maybe I deserve a little fun." And you give in. Okay? And so our armor gets a weak spot, or we get a chink in it, right? And the enemy sneaks in and repeatedly tempts until finally it's too much for us to bear, perhaps. All right, but that's not what happened with Joseph. Check this out. "One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. So she caught him by the cloak and said, 'Come to bed with me.' Is that funny? I don't know. I don't know how she is. Too deep of a voice for a lady. Come to bed with me. That doesn't make sense. But he left his cloak in her hand, and he ran out of the house. Okay? She grabs him. He's like, amore. And he's like, no. And he runs out of his robe, and he runs outside. Okay? He runs away. Is that silly? Yeah, it's kind of silly. I don't know how it happened. I wasn't there. But here's the thing. Sometimes sin is so insistent and crouching and prowling at your door so intensely that the only option you really have is either give in or run away. And physically, for Joseph, he had to get out of that environment and he had to leave. And I'd like to be able to tell you that that was the end of the story and that Joseph is heroic and wins, right? Well, here's the thing. Joseph's life didn't get any better after that, okay? He was moral. He was heroic. He was honorable. But the lady lied. Potiphar's wife framed him, holding the cloak or his clothing. She yells and screams that she was raped, and all the servants come, and her husband gets told that Joseph tried to take advantage of her. Okay? Not what happened. Potiphar, super angry, and puts Joseph in jail for a long, long time. So here's what happened. Joseph resists, he honors God, and what happens? He gets framed and sent to jail. You guys, sometimes resisting doesn't pay off right away, you know? Now, he resisted that temptation. But here's the crazy thing. Even while Joseph was in jail, God blessed him. And he found favor with the guards, and he was put in charge of all the prisoners. Crazy, right? Later, Joseph interprets some dreams for the king, is later set free, and is later put second in command to the king, and ends up saving thousands and thousands of people because a famine was coming, and he was able to interpret the dreams to say that they needed to store up food. You guys, crazy story of his life, right? Maybe you don't know it, but here's the thing. He resists. He's honorable. He holds on to his integrity. He gets kind of punished for it in a way, sent to jail. But then later, he's honored. Okay? And I don't believe if he would have been a man of sin, if he would have given in to temptation and done those things, he would have never become second in command of the king. He wouldn't have been used by God to save a whole nation. But he is, which is pretty cool. But here's the thing, you guys. Most of us in the room, we're not Josephs. Maybe we have a shining moment. And maybe we do the right thing more often than not. But here's the thing. A lot of us are like a lot of the other people in the Bible who didn't run away. So I want to tell you about some guys who didn't run away. All right? We're going to look at Samson, David, and Solomon. I don't know if you guys know the story of Samson. He was the strongest man the world had ever seen. Super ripped, buff dude. Okay? Huge. He thought he was too strong for sin to affect him, though. So instead of running away from it, he got so close to it as he could. And then his unwillingness to run away cost him eventually his life. Plus, he got his eyes poked out, which probably sucked. Okay? I don't know if you guys remember. He breaks the pillars and brings the whole building down on him and all the people there in kind of a grand finale deal. But he did not run from sin. He got caught up in it. David, you might know the story of King David. As a shepherd boy, he's awesome, he's cool, he beats Goliath, the giant, right? Later, he gets promoted to king. As a king, he's a good king for a while, and then he makes a really bad moral decision, right? Check this out. He was good, and God called him a man after his heart, but he thought he was too good of a guy to get wrapped up in sin sometimes. So instead of running away from sin, you know what David did? He lingered. He lingered and he took a second look and a third look. He decided to stay a bit longer and have a peek at a naked lady from his rooftop. He had no business looking at her. She was married. He slept with her. He tried to cover it up. And later he had her husband killed. And his unwillingness to run away cost him the lives of four of his children and caused a civil war in his country. Okay? Now, David repents. His friend comes to him, confronts him, is like, dude, you're the king. You can't act like this. And so he does a public apology and asks for forgiveness and turns the corner and tries to do right and come back to God. But there are major consequences that still fell out of that decision that he made. Solomon. Some of you guys know King Solomon, super smart guy, one of the wisest guys, wrote a lot of Ecclesiastes and some of the Proverbs and stuff. Smart guy. But sometimes that was a weakness for him, that he thought he was too smart and he let sin ruin his life. So instead of running from sin, he decided to try new things. Things that he wasn't supposed to be doing. And his unwillingness to run away cost him his family legacy and later caused spiritual downfall for his country. That his choices were not honoring God in the end. You guys, the Bible's full of bad examples of people who gave in, who didn't continue to fight, who didn't run away. Now, we're not as strong as Samson, and maybe we're not as good as David, and we aren't as smart as Solomon, but what makes us think that we aren't susceptible to falling and to sinning as well, you know? So here's the thing. There's a cool verse in the Bible that talks about a way that we can fight sin. It says that no temptation or the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you're tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. You guys, here's the crazy thing. God knows we're going to be tempted. God offers and provides a way out if we will look for it. But here's the crazy part. Sometimes we see the way out and we don't care. And we want to sin anyway. We want to do it anyway. We don't care about the consequence. We want the pleasure now, or we want the experience now. We want to do it now. And so we let our mouth fly, or we let our relationships go, and we don't have boundaries, and we end up going further than we should, or saying more than we should, or looking at things we shouldn't. You guys, that was my struggle. As a teenage guy, I had a moment in my life where I was looking at stuff I shouldn't, and I wasn't proud of it. And I had a youth leader who was really important in my life, and I decided one day to do this up there, that I was going to run from my sin and run to God. And so I wrote him a letter and I said, dude, this is what I'm struggling with. Okay. And I sent it to him and I asked if we could meet. You guys know who that was? You guys remember who my youth leader was? My youth pastor was Tom. And got into some accountability to say, all right, you can't be looking at that stuff. It's not good for your mind. It's not good for your heart. So you need to have some friends in your life to help you and ask you about, hey, what did you look at last night? Or, hey, were you alone in your room, you know, looking at whatever? And back then we didn't have the internet, you know? So it was like magazines and stuff or whatever. Here's the thing. God gave me a lot of victory over that, but I had to bring it into the light. Does that make sense? Keeping it a secret was eating at my soul. Keeping it inside and not letting anybody know and thinking that I'm the only one that's struggling was a lie, and the enemy is holding me captive. Does that make sense? That I was like a prisoner to my own behavior. So being set free from that, finding victory in that, getting help for that, started by having enough courage to run from sin and run to God and to tell somebody that I needed help, you know? That could happen for you. Maybe you've got secret stuff that you've got going on in your heart or in your mind. I don't know what it is for you, but it might be time to run from it and to run to God with it and maybe share it with a friend or a trusted youth leader, but bring it into the light and get some help for it. Chances are somebody else is struggling with something similar and that you might find some really neat friendship and some really neat spiritual growth happen in your life because you're willing to share it, you know? So one of the best ways we can defeat sin is basically don't go near it. So if there are places, environments that you know are a trap for you, then don't go there. If you're an alcoholic and you're hooked on alcohol, okay, you don't go to a bar, okay? Because the smell of alcohol is going to be around and it's going to tempt you. Does that make sense? So like if... figure out what is your environments. If it's a certain group of people that you're with, makes your behavior go south, okay? Or if it's your bedroom, or if it's somebody else's place, or if it's a restaurant, or if it's another venue, okay? If it's the locker room at school, or if it's some other thing, or if you've got a friend that's doing drugs, and if you're around them, you get enticed. Whatever it could be, figure out your triggers and avoid the locations and the people that might entice you to do those things. And then surround yourself with good friends and good people and good environments. Does that make sense? Not easy to do. So here, let me give you a few quick examples, and then we'll jump to life group. If you tell your mom or dad, I don't want Wi-Fi in my room because I don't trust myself, it might be awkward. And it might make homework difficult, but that might be what you need to do to run from sin. If you need to stop hanging out with some people because you don't know what they're going to be up to, or you don't like who you become when you're around them, then it might be time to find some new friendships. It might be awkward. It might be challenging and difficult, but that might be what you need to do to run from sin. If you break up with that guy or girl, or you end that relationship because it's heading where it shouldn't be heading, it might be heartbreaking, but it might be what you need to do to run from sin. Are you with me? I could give you more and more and more and more examples. There's probably going to be a short-term consequence that it's going to be hard to confess that, to have courage to do that, the awkwardness of it, the shame of it, the embarrassment of it, and then you might find some real freedom in the end. Does that make sense? You guys, running from sin is hard. It may not be the coolest or bravest thing to run away, but sometimes you got to run. And basically it's this, it's admitting your weaknesses, okay? If you know you're weak in a certain area, then find some people who are strong and that can help you, right? There's nothing wrong with that. God wants us to run from the things that make us weak and to run to the one, which is him, who can make us strong. So let me end with our little phrase again, okay? Say this with me. I will run from sin, even if it costs me something, because I know that sin will cost me way more. All right, pray with me. God, sin is tough. It's tough to stop. Easy to start. And God, sometimes sin feels really good. And sometimes we get away with it and we don't even get caught and nobody knows. But God, you know. You see all and you know all. You see in the dark and you see in the secret places. And when nobody's around, you know. So God, would you help us right now? We just want to confess to you. So if you want to talk to God just on your own right now and say, God, I am trapped in this sin. And be specific. Tell him what it is. And tell him you're sorry. God, I'm sorry for my sin, for the things that I do that pull me away from you. Would you forgive me? Would you give me courage to share it? Would you give me strength to overcome it? And would you break its hold on me so that I could be free to love you and to love other people? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.